Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you've had an opportunity to get out to see Art Prize, or at least bump into some people on the sidewalks. It's certainly an exciting time for us. I start my career as a Burger King operator and actually got to meet Clark when I had the opportunity with Peter Secchia to start the first charter high school in Grand Rapids. And our experience was certainly the same as Clark's, that I think you said 91% graduated, 95 went on to college, something like that. And we just had a marvelous ride with it. And as a Burger King operator, I really started or got involved in this process because I saw all the individuals coming through the Burger King system as having great potential and great opportunity, and I kept seeing systems fail. And I said to myself, there's got to be a better way to do this. In our particular case, we started a school-to-work school, so we didn't do classwork. We actually went off into industry. We had CFOs and CEOs and controllers or whatever actually teach class. But that's probably the start of my journey in regards to the work that I'm currently doing at this point in time. I also had an opportunity to work for the late Richard Rockefeller, and he had a little time bank in Portland, Maine. And that was really an economic development opportunity for individuals. And if you know anything about the economy in Maine, average hourly wage continues to decline on a fairly significant basis. And so the time bank was an opportunity for people to share their individual skills with each other, and the notion was that everyone's hour is worth the same as everybody else's hour. 60 minutes is 60 minutes. So if you're a ditch digger, your 60 minutes has the same value as an attorney. So we traded, cookie making and babysitting. We also did primary care. We did prescription. We did accounting. We did legal work. And we had over 1,000 individuals engaged in that particular process. So it was really about a community that came together to help each other out and help each other out in a crisis, too, if that was necessary. So I find my way back to Grand Rapids after that experience with Richard and got recruited to come to Guiding Light Mission. And Guiding Light Mission is what is known as a gospel rescue mission. They're 600 of us scattered throughout the United States. What I like about it is I get to share best practice. So it's not a franchise, but I do get to share best practice as I would have in the Burger King system. And there are two models in a rescue mission. There's one where we only rescue and we provide no programming. And that was what Guiding Light was doing in 2009 when I arrived. And the first thing I did is I started to learn the stories. Now, let me back up. If anyone's from Grand Rapids, Guiding Light has probably the worst reputation in the world. There was an unreported homicide in the early 90s in the building. There was some attempt by community to change it. It was to close it. Guiding Light was the very last place you would ever go. And of course, I didn't know any of this when I signed up for this opportunity. And in fact, the board had made plans to close Guiding Light because it had run out of all financial assets. So I show up, start learning the stories, and what I found was you don't go to Hartside, you don't go to Mel Trotter, you don't go to Guiding Light because it's on your bucket list. You kind of end up there because you've lost and run out of all resources and opportunities. And what I learned from the men, we only serve men, was that they all wanted to be contributing members of society. And that was not my mindset when I got there. They all wanted to be members of society. So what we said to ourselves, and this is really the same thing I was doing in the Burger King system, is God has given us all special gifts and talents. And how do I help facilitate the utilization of those special gifts and talents, knowing that sometimes there are barriers in the way? That's what we did in the Burger King system. We facilitated individuals to help them use their special gifts and talents. That's kind of what we did in the time bank. We facilitated so people could use their special gifts and talents. So we put a little advisory group. I'll back up again. When I showed up at Guiding Light, I had active prostitution in the bathrooms. I had active alcohol and drug utilization in the building. Staff had been physically accosted. They were sneaking in the back door. And I said to myself, this isn't the game I want to play. So again, I started learning the stories. And as I said, I learned they really wanted to be contributing members of society again. So if you think about this, if you want a job in the construction trade, you need two things. You need steel-toe boots, and you need some tools. And there are no steel-toe boots in the thrift stores. So you're trapped. So what I said to myself, I'll go buy steel-toe boots. We'll find a way. So we started buying steel-toe boots, and all of a sudden people were going to work. I'm going to back up again. So what I said to myself is we were going to create a program that would cheerlead and allow individuals to use their special gifts and talents. When I arrived in 2009, I had 68 men watching TV all day, every episode of Matlock. In 2010, I walked up, I turned the TV off, I said, giddy up, here we go. So at that point in time, we started providing a bus pass so people could get to work. We started providing steel-toe shoes. We made sure there was unlimited local and long-distance phone calls. We put voicemail in. So the last person an employer wants to talk to when they call looking for an employee is Stuart, who's the executive director of Guiding Light. Guiding where? So we made it available. We made it opportunities for people, employers, doctors, attorneys, to get directly to their clients. Now, we were in the midst of a cultural change, as you can imagine, that I'm taking the position that God gave you gifts, you're going to use them, I'm going to provide some resources. I also said, by the way, you're going to provide reciprocity to the mission. So if any of you have been to a mission, usually they use bed making as a volunteer opportunity. I said to myself, well, I don't have one at home, you no longer have one here, you're making and stripping your own bed. So we started this process of work reciprocity. Everyone has a chore at Guiding Light Mission. Mop the floor, they take the trash out, they make their own beds, they help in the kitchen, whatever the case may be. The other thing that they're required to do at Guiding Light Mission is, one, find work, so giddy up and go. Second, you will save your money. And if you want the resource, you want to continue to use the generous resources of the donor, you will put your money into savings at Guiding Light. If you decide that you do not want to save your money, we would ask you to find someplace else to go. So in fact, what we do is we create exit strategies for people. So you find a job, and in Grand Rapids, if you're familiar with the economy, that there is plenty of work here. Most people find jobs within 3 to 4 days. They have the ability to save $2,000 or $3,000 before they leave the mission. That gives them the opportunity to make the down payment on whatever their next residential opportunity is going to be and continue to pay the rent. We use no government money. We use no housing vouchers at Guiding Light. There's $6 million of HUD vouchers that roll into this community through the Coalition on Homelessness. Our guys use zero of it because, one, I believe in doing it the old-fashioned way. Two, I believe they have special gifts and talents. And three, it will help them build self-esteem. Because we've started this process of reciprocity, Guiding Light, you know, counting everything we count in a nonprofit, is about a $2.5 or $2.75 million operation. I have 10 FTEs. I have no staff after 5. I have no staff on the weekend. The inmates are in charge, so to speak. Now, that was a little different concept for me coming from the Burger King world. But in fact, I don't get any phone calls. They are old enough and mature enough, have enough life experience that they know how to handle every particular situation. I will show up and I will have an incident report, but rarely do I get a phone call. I'm going to use another example, if I may. If I need a 52, this is the desperation, I think, of people wanting to be engaged and contribute in society. If I need a empty 52-foot semi-trailer for storage, I'll have it within 48 hours, and it'll be legal. So for me, that is the depth of experience, the depth of knowledge, the depth of communication, or the depth of networking that this group has. So the other thing that Guiding Light's done is, let me tell you a little more, that we've put over 400 guys back to work over the last 2 years. We know from all the research that we've done that 90% of them are sustainable. We have the lowest civitism rate of anyone doing homeless work in the county that we know. So if you, even on a conservative method, if you take $10 an hour times 40 hours a week times 52 hours times 400 guys, you're coming up with a chunk of change. So there's somewhere between $8 and $9 million that these men are now contributing back to society, and no longer takers, now they're givers. And even this morning, walking through Myers with my wife doing our weekly shopping, there was someone who took me aside and said, gee, I don't know what I'd be doing without you. I was there 2 years ago. I'm sustainable. I've got a good job. I've got good housing. So really what we do is we lift guys up. We don't give any handouts out. We expect individuals contributing. We have also moved into housing. If you're familiar with this particular market, that housing is probably the crisis that we're facing from a homeless standpoint or family sustainability standpoint. Average rents in this community have gone from $500 a month to $900 a month over the last 2 years. If you're making $10 an hour, the numbers don't work. So recently, Guiding Light's gotten into housing. It's designed to cash flow. I'm an entrepreneur. I expect it to cash flow. It's not part of program. Men pay rent. They perform reciprocity around the facility. A good businessman would want a return on investment in 5 to 7 years. Well, this is probably going to take us 10 to 12. But it does cash flow. It is a social enterprise. So thank you very much for listening.